Welcome back to an encore presentation of Michael Feldman's What Do You Know? From Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, Clyde Stubblefield on drums. I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, we're back for more Hartford fun with music from John Seeger and Semi Twang, plus Jeff Balls of the Horicon Marsh Bird Club, and another round of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who remembers Little Switzerland when it really was little, it's Michael Feldman.
We're at the beautiful Shower Center here for the arts here in Hartford. And right next door is the museum we were talking about earlier there, the Wisconsin Auto Museum. So you could, you know, come here and see, catch a play or, you know, a radio show if you're around real quick. And next door and see the greatest auto museum you've ever seen in your life. Some very rare cars and some cool ones. And right now, some guys I know personally, there's personal history here. Hey, John. But we're trying to forget all that, aren't we?
We go way back.
We go way back. We go too far back.
We were in the Army together, for one thing.
Yes.
Over in NAM?
No, we weren't in NAM. You're thinking of some moment. You're having someone else's recollections. I hate that. When you get to that age, when you have other people's recollections.
I'm recovering some stuff that might not have happened.
Yeah, I know. It's that therapy you're in. I would go to a different therapist.
Remember prison?
That was
Those
you?
Those were the good old days.
That was you? Holy cow. Anyhow, I've known him for a long time, long time. We actually write some songs together over the years, you know, starting with If My Old Man Were Alive Today, This World Would Kill Him Quick. Remember that one?
I love that song.
Yeah. One of our many.
That's a beautiful song.
Big hits. You can do that one now?
I could probably just do some of it.
Yeah.
How special would that be?
Yeah, that would be too special, I think.
I mean, especially monetarily.
Yeah, no, that wouldn't.
Okay.
It wouldn't be that special.
I'm a fool of myself.
John's band, Semi Twang. Ladies and gentlemen, you probably heard of them. They are an outstanding band. Many fabulous songs. This is one of them.
There are weeds gnats in thoroughbreds, lap dogs living the life of ease, mutts that won't get fed. There are mansions on the hill, shacks in shantytown, blue bloods trying to look away, poor folks come around. You can wish upon a star, but that won't change your luck. Drop some coin down in that well, wish that you had a buck. Some folks can fit everything they own in a dime store paper sack. A man can't help it if he was born on the wrong side of the track. That you can't move a mountain if the mountain sits on you. There is no account for the things some people do. Drop some coin down at your feet to tell you how you should act. But a man can't help it if he was born on the wrong side of the track. I said a man can't help it if he was born on the wrong side of the trail.
Thank you. you. You're very kind.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I got it on my phone, John. We got a record of that one. It's on my phone.
Yeah?
Got it on the phone.
On the phone?
Yeah. Got you on the phone.
Oh, really?
Movie on the phone.
Wow. Oh,
got movie
pictures.
On the phone on this
I'm
one.
I'm still living in some other time, I think.
I got movie on the phone app.
I remember the old crank phone still.
Introduce the band, John.
I'd like to introduce the band now. Over here on the red piano and saxophones, handsome man, we got Bob Jennings. Our utility guy. Next to me, on my left, on guitar and harmony, Mike Hoffman, our producer. My brother, the ever-charming bass player, Mike Seeger. Jason Clagstead on guitar,
yeah.
Slide guitar. And back here filling those big Clyde shoes is Bobby Schneider on the drum.
Yeah.
Our own personal funky drummer.
Yeah. Now, did you come to Marty Zipko's in your day?
I never made it up here. I heard
never
stories,
did?
And I heard your story earlier.
Anybody here, Marty Zipko's? Come on.
I played Marty
Zipko's. You played Marty Zipko's?
I played Marty Zipko's,
yeah. Who'd you play with, Marty Zipko's?
A royal.
Huh?
A royal.
A royal? At Marty Zipko's. A royal. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who'd you play with?
I was in a band called Yipes.
Yipes. Yeah, I remember Yipes.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, Yipes is a great band. Cool.
My band's never played anywhere, really. We played Kenosha.
Well, the prison shows.
We're here now, yeah. Right.
That was good. All right, so that's on a new CD. We should mention you got a new CD.
Yeah, we have a new CD that's coming out March 26th called The Why and the What For.
The Why and the What For?
Yeah, both of them.
Okay.
Together for the first time.
Yeah. Did you come up with that?
What's that?
Did you come up with that title?
I did.
Okay. What was your thinking there? What was your thinking there?
Well, I actually wrote a song called The Why and the What For.
Oh, you did?
It didn't make the cut.
Oh. But it made a good album
title. Many of them come on that, coming on that side of the format.
And The Wrong Side of the Tracks, that's a great song. I love it.
Thank you so much. Yeah,
that's a great song.
Economic justice. And it rocks.
A call for economic justice.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
About time.
Yes. I know. And for you
especially
personally.
For me.
For you personally is what I would like to see it. And then this song here coming up, what's this one going to be?
This song has your lyric, actually. This is a song Mike wrote, a very funny lyric called, I could go on and on, but this one's called You Love Everybody.
Oh, You Love Everybody.
About that kind of person.
Yep. I think I know her.
Okay. Well, you want to give it a try? When you think of everyone you hated, it'd be so easy to get jaded, but you love everybody, you love everybody, you love everybody. You love everybody. You love everybody. Ah, 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 ah. Ah, 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 ah. Ah, 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 ah. Ah, ah, ah. Thank you. Thank
you. That's John Seeger there on the lead vocals and semi-twang. Semi-twang, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks, Johnny. Thank you, guys. Are we on break now?
Not yet, no.
Oh, no, okay. Well, thank you again then, Johnny.
Am I coming back?
No, no, you're not. I'll come back. He's so anxious to play. He's got a big list, back list of songs, you know. Can't get through all of them, though. You love everybody. I can explain how that song happened. Now, this is how that happened. Oh, okay. But were you ever with anybody who loves everybody? You know that type of person who loves everybody? And yet they can't seem to like you that much? So it just occurred to me, if you love everybody, you know, come on. Here I am. I'm everybody. Okay. Oh, well. The new one is called The Why and the What For, I believe, from Semi-Twang. So look for that. If you find it, let me know. Now, you know, we're right on the verge here of a hurricane marsh, and it's a pretty big deal, and it's a pretty big marsh. In fact, it's prehistoric, and they restored it, you know? So it's for prehistoric, and now it's historic. And there's a big thing out here called the Hurricane Marsh Bird Club, because it's a really huge thing. And we got the gentleman from it, I think you're going to find very interesting. Jeff Balls from the Hurricane Marsh Bird Club will explain to you what's out in the marsh, even as we speak right now, and why that's important. You can come out, Jeff. He's got his binoculars. And I'm sure there's a warbler out there. No, they're probably not there this time. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Michael.
You wore your outfit. I love it.
I did.
Yeah.
First of all, I've got a little gift here for you.
Oh, thank you. What is that?
That is the official club pin.
It is? Oh, yeah. Thank you so much.
So you know,
I don't feel like I've earned it, though.
Well.
Shouldn't I have to go out and stand in the marsh and look for something?
You did mention wood warblers.
I did.
Yeah. So I'm giving you that pin. You're an honorary member.
Oh, thank you so
that
much.
That exempts you from the test of identifying the 35 wood warblers.
Are there 35 that you know of, personally? How many have you seen of the 35?
Probably mid-20s.
No kidding. Yeah. Is it a big day when you see a warbler you haven't seen before? I mean, that's
yes,
pretty big
for
moment.
Me it is, yes.
Do you remember the last time that happened? When you saw a warbler?
Last spring.
You did?
Yeah.
What warbler was it?
Canada warbler.
Canada warbler.
Yeah.
Okay.
They have the hockey helmets on.
Yeah. Now,
they're easy to identify that way.
Okay. Come on. Give me a... I know that's not true. The Canada warbler is very similar to every other warbler, isn't it?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Similar. They have a
coloration.
Coloration. They have what we call a spectacles around the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Not real actual glasses, but they do have an eye ring.
Yeah.
And spectacles. So.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
You're putting me on still, aren't you?
No.
Can you level with me on this?
No.
Please. Try to understand the whole warbler thing to begin with. Are the warblers like the biggest collection of species in the Horicon Marsh? Would you say?
No, probably waterfowl. I mean, numbers-wise.
Well, yeah. Ducks, well, you always hear about the geese. And
yes, yeah. One of the largest stopovers in the United States of Canada geese.
Yeah, they stop over and they stay now by us.
You know,
I mean,
exactly.
I don't know. I'm surprised there's any left in the marsh. They're in Wingra Park next to my house.
Back when we were kids, there weren't any geese around, you know, year-round.
Is that? Yeah, right. Now they live here.
Yeah.
They have they're geese condos. A lot of them are real upscale now and everything. It's ridiculous. Is that maybe we should make things less pleasant for them. They wouldn't stay so long. Doesn't that affect some of the other birds? They're kind of dominating the habitat, those geese.
Not necessarily.
No.
I mean, and sometimes they get to be a nuisance around parks.
Mm-hmm.
But that's actually kind of a replication of their natural habitat, the tundra in Canada.
Yeah. And the cornfields of their youth.
Yeah. Golf courses.
Oh, to see them descend on a cornfield is a beautiful thing. Strip it within 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Marvelous thing. Farmers love them, right? Are farmers allowed to shoot geese if they land in your...
I mean, self-defense? You have to have tags.
Self-defense?
You have to have tags.
Self-defense?
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, the most thing, I've been out there in Hurricane Marsh, when you walk in there and they all take off at once because you startle them or something. God, you've never heard anything like that in your life.
Yeah,
it's
you hear
scary,
the wings,
frightening.
The wings actually
You feel it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's amazing, really. They could rule the world if they were a little smarter. But they're not that smart, you know, because and they're insolent now. The ones by us. I don't want to get off on this. This is not really what the Marsh is all about necessarily, but they're insolent. You in the park, they're standing there in the park, and it's like their park, and you walk on there, and they turn around, and they confront you. Yeah, they do that stupid hissing thing.
They're just protecting their families.
I know, but they're stupid. I'm not hurting their family. You can see I'm afraid of the thing. I'm not even going to, you know.
Well, you got to show them who's boss, Michael. You can't cower. You know, it's a goose, okay?
Yeah, they
really you're smarter than Ron, right?
They're aggressive. I don't care. And you can't shoot them dead or nothing because there's laws and, you know, it's not fair. On a golf course, you hit them with a club. Headlines. Yeah. Headlines. Self-defense. All right. Now, the other species, the warblers are a big one. What's another bird that... What's a bird that you've been looking for? And maybe other people have seen it, and you want to score this observation. Because that's important to you guys, right?
Yeah.
What you've seen.
Yeah. I'm not much of a lister, know, one that, you know, checks off the list.
Well, you're not,
I try to enjoy what I'm looking at, what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
Although I would like to see probably a black-throated blue warbler.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Good luck with that. Black-throated blue?
Yeah. Although something we have right here, you mentioned about what's here right now. Of course, we don't have the sheer number of birds that we have during the spring and the summer. But right now, we do have some really special stuff at Horican right now. We have some rough-legged hawks, which are...
Rough-legged, yeah.
Yep.
The ones with the rough on their legs. Right, yeah.
And some...
Those are cool.
Snowy owls.
Ooh, snowy owls. Ooh, they're here. How about that? They're in our audience.
Yes.
Isn't that, that's very cool. And the snowy owls. Let's go back to this black-throated blue, though.
Okay.
Are they rare? They're pretty rare, huh?
They're not real common, let's put it that way.
What's the difference between not... What's the difference between not real common and rare? Is there a thin line there, or what?
Well, rare would be, their numbers would be like an endangered.
Yeah.
They just have they're very habitat specific, and then their numbers aren't very plentiful.
Yeah, so
you're never going to see 50 in a day, okay? Not like a flock of geese. You're not going to see a flock of
You're not going to see one, are you? Yeah. Let's face it.
I'm not.
No. Other people you know have seen a black-throated blue?
Oh, yeah.
How do you feel about that?
A little envious, sometimes, A little envious.
You got to get over it, though, man.
Yeah.
It's not their fault they saw it and you didn't. What is one that you've cited that people would give their eye teeth to have seen?
King rail, maybe.
King rail.
Yeah.
Tell me about
that. It's a water bird.
Yeah. Oh, a king rail.
Yep.
What is it? Tell me.
It's a water bird, shore bird. Yeah. Stands about a foot tall.
Mm-hmm.
They're very rare this far north. They're
rare, or just there's a few of them?
Uncommon.
There are a few of them. Yeah.
Another one that's very habitat specific. They like a cattail marsh of certain density and water levels. Their range is generally further south.
Okay.
What
does it look like? Maybe I've seen one.
Well,
I know it's that big, but that doesn't really help me. That doesn't narrow it down.
Let me think that. You know what a coot looks like?
Yes.
Okay.
A diving bird.
Yeah. It's kind of like a coot that walks more on land with a bigger beak.
Well, I can picture that.
Yeah.
In fact, I see myself I now that you mention it. So it looks like me, is what you're saying.
It's just a larger version of a sora, and I'm sure you...
Of
a sora rail.
Of a what?
Sora rail.
A sora rail.
Yeah.
How do you spell that?
S-O-A-R-A.
No, I mean rail.
Oh.
Larger version of it?
Yeah.
But what is it? Skinny, long-legged for a short bird?
Yep.
Well, a short bird with long legs and a bigger beak than
sore.
The ordinary.
Yeah. You got it.
Yeah. Okay.
You see?
I know. I've seen it. Maybe it was in my dreams. Well, that's pretty cool. And those are specific to certain things. Okay. Yeah. So we have your shore birds and you got your warblers that are in and out. And, and what else you got there?
Waterfowl. We have ducks.
Waterfowl, of course.
Yep.
Waterfowl.
Horican Marsh was actually recreated for the redhead duck. We have the largest nesting colony of red-headed ducks.
Are they actually red-headed ducks?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Red-headed ducks.
That'd be very attractive in a duck, I think.
Do you have a fancy for redheads? Or
I don't need to. It's one of the song lyrics, so actually involved a redheaded duck.
Okay.
It's the funniest thing. I'm surprised you didn't do it. But redheaded ducks.
Yep.
So they're red.
Yep.
Red.
Yep.
Because we have the regular kind by us, you know.
The mallards, probably the green-headed ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just the regular ones.
Mallards are probably one of the most numerous
misunderstood ducks.
Yeah.
You know, I get a kick out, you know, because we have so many ducks in our... We have the geese and the ducks, and the ducks beat up on the geese. I mean, the geese beat up on the ducks when they come through. Push them around and stuff. You see all that stuff. But we have people who have never seen ducks before. I don't know where they come from. I mean, Wisconsin, we're blessed with ducks. You know, I mean, let's face it, it's a blessing. I didn't realize it, but it must be a blessing. We have ducks. Lots of them. But people come in and they're looking at the duck. They're taking pictures of this. It's a damn duck. You know, I mean...
Michael, we have people coming from all across the United States to Horican Marsh, just, you know, to see the waterfall, to see the ducks.
All over
the world.
Yeah, I don't, I'm speaking about our park.
Oh, know. Okay.
Horican Marsh is a place to come and see all this stuff. Yeah. And actually going to it goes way back in prehistory, and then it was lost for a while, right, for many years.
It was originally a depression that was carved out by the glaciers.
Right.
And then... pre-settlement, there was a lot of Native American villages around there. They hunted, they fished around the Horican Marsh. European settlement, it was a wonderful spot for waterfowl hunting. But back in the 1800s, there were no laws. Unregulated hunting, pretty much wiped out the duck population.
Yeah.
So then there was a group that thought, we'll drain the marsh and we'll farm vegetables in it. Mm-hmm. And that lasted for about 3 to 5 years, and then there was just happened to be coinciding during the drought and the depression. And next thing you know, you had peat fires, and you had actually had marsh that was on fire. And,
wow!
Yeah,
what a history.
So then some conservation-minded folks decided, well, let's try to restore this place. And through the 30s and 40s, they ended up restoring the Horican Marsh.
That's an amazing story. And it's people from around here, basically.
Yep.
All banded together and say, bring it back. That's really an amazing story. And your big event's coming up in May, right?
Yes, our bird festival.
Bird festival.
Horican Marsh Bird Festival.
Yeah, what's involved in the bird festival?
Oh, we have all
kinds. Can beginners get involved in
that? Oh, yes. You don't have to be an expert, so no one starts out as an expert.
No.
So
do they end up as one, though?
Perhaps. Or an advanced beginner.
yeah.
So we have bus trips, and that's generally for more of the advanced birders, the people that come from across the country. You want to see as many species as possible.
Yeah.
We have some other hikes that are geared towards maybe intermediate, and then we have some things that are geared towards beginners. We get the basically, we hand them a pair of binoculars and a field guide.
You get to keep the binoculars?
No. I already gave you a pin, Mike.
No, I don't want yours. Oh. I'm wondering when if you come out for this, because you pay
now.
A fee and you get a pair of nice binoculars or something.
So,
do you actually wade into the...
No.
No, you don't.
No.
You never actually enter the marsh.
No.
They have those big fan boats like Lincoln Vale, the Everglades.
Airboats. That's only used by the managing personnel, the Fish and Wildlife Service and Department of Natural Resources.
Okay.
They're actually banned for private use there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you fish in the marsh?
Yes.
You can?
Yes.
Okay. But those guys are in their boats. They'll catch you if you do.
Yeah, I'm not going to tell you my good spots, though, Mike.
Where's your good spot out there?
North. I'll just say the north.
So it's not. So it's south, right? No. Where else? Southeast, southwest?
No.
Sure, we can narrow this down if we had a little more. Okay. All right, and so in May, and the object is when you're out there for the May event, this huge thing, lots of people come for this.
Yep.
What are you out there doing? You're looking for species.
Yep. We try to hit as many different habitats as possible.
Okay.
That'll give us the greatest number of species of birds. Oh. We try to hit grasslands, woodlands, of course, the marshlands. And we get to go, all through those. We get to have some local experts that help guide us.
Sounds terrific.
So.
And then if someone wants to get involved in this, how would they do that?
Just look up Horican Marsh Bird Club or HoricanMarshBirdFestival.com.
Yeah, that's coming up May...
Mother's Day weekend, May 10th through the 13th.
perfect for mom. She would
love
that.
We get a lot of people that come out, and mom has her bouquet, and there's several people in tow, and like, you know, mom got what she wanted for Mother's Day.
Yeah, and poor dad is trailing behind her. Yeah. But, thanks, Jeff.
You're welcome, mother.
Beautiful Horicon Marsh and a man who knows it like the back of his hand. Jeff Fowles from the Horicon Marsh Bird Club. You can look up online and find out and get part of that thing. And how are we doing so far?
We're doing good.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
All right. Are you a birder? You're not a birder,
are
you?
I'm not a birder, no.
No.
I appreciate them. I don't keep lists or go looking for them particularly.
No, you don't?
No.
I have a special relationship with birds. I find as you get older, I could tell by your reaction I shouldn't even finish that sentence. But yeah. For one thing, I've been talking to the squirrel outside my window. Because I feel suddenly, I don't know, I reached a point where I feel like I understand a lot of what he does. When I was a younger man, I resented the squirrel. Because, you know, they're annoying, and they drop nuts on your windows and things like that, and porch. As you get older, I feel like I'm more to relate to what they're about. So I feel like I have an affinity with the squirrel in my yard, and I feed them and stuff. And the birds, too. They have these little birds that come, mostly sparrows and stuff. Why am I telling you all this? Is this for my therapist? But I think an event like this, to go to Horicon Marsh and actually observe birds and their habitats and get in tune with that, would be a good thing for me.
Great. We'll get you some tickets. How about that?
Okay. You've done a lot of birding, though, haven't you, John?
Oh, yeah. A lot.
Down there in Chicago, what do you got? You got the hawks.
No, you got the.
Well, you got those wild parakeet things.
Got the blackhawks. I know that.
Well, the blackhawks, but yeah. I got a couple like cardinals in my backyard. That's kinda,
you do.
Yeah,
we have a parrot too, and they own the yard. As a matter of fact,
I like those red cardinals.
I like them very much. Yeah, not as much as the red ducks, redheaded ducks.
Those redheaded ducks, yeah,
very attractive.
Yeah,
for a duck.
Yeah.
So you want to play a number here, or should we just chat?
We should chat for a while. Play a little number here.
We haven't really talked in a while.
Wayne Shorter tune called Black Nile.
Okay. Make it more Wayne than Shorter.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, it's Michael Feldman.
I'll go down this way. Oh, yeah, the shower center. Where these are expensive seats here. Boy, you feel you got your money's worth out of this seat? Because you had to pay extra for it.
Got my money's worth, but I'm sorry if I seemed a little shy before, but I think the president's sitting next to me.
The president of what?
The United States.
Oh. He doesn't seem to be in his seat right now.
I'm in awe. No. Hold my hat.
Yeah.
Oh. He lost weight.
Okay. Very nice. Always a pleasure talking to you. Sometimes more than others, I got to admit, but usually a pleasure, I probably should say, a little more accurate. How you doing? Pretty good?
All right. Yeah.
Pretty good today.
What you up to these days? Today, yesterday's not so good, though, right? Are you feeling better anyway?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good to be. What you got going on tonight? Anything?
No, nothing.
Tomorrow, something?
No, just cut some wood.
Don't you think you ought to make some plans and maybe do something sometime?
I came here.
I know you came here, and I appreciate that. But I'm thinking about you, and you need a little more of a social life, don't you? Have you got any social life at all?
No, not really.
No. What about the bird club? You could join that or something.
My mother was a member.
I bet you met a lot of people, I bet, and
yeah,
a lot of birds. And
yeah, she did.
She's right there.
Yeah. Hi, how are you? Oh, hi, how are you? So, yeah, you're not going to get out of it that easy, though. I mean, what about clogging, you know, dancing, clog dancing?
No, not into that too much.
No? Well, what interests you, then? Let's see if we can figure out something here for you. Well, let me ask your mother. Don't you think you should do a little more socializing?
Sure you should, but I don't know what...
Have a talk with them about it, or
no?
No, you don't want to. You know, want to press them into do something they don't. You know, but maybe a card club. You join a card club is a good thing.
Oh, a Computer.
Computer? Well, you got to get off that computer, though, too. He's on.
He's on it a lot.
I know. Okay. All right, I'm going to let you go on this. I want you to think about this.
All right.
And your name is?
Bill.
Bill, nice talking to you. Not too much pressure on you. And nice to meet you as well. You did a nice job with Bill. He's a very nice young man. Okay, where's Lynette Mayer? Okay, I got to get a pronunciation from you on this. On HUBERTUS. Okay, well, can I get you to stand up here? As future reference, if anyone comes in here, you know, Garrison or somebody wants to make a local reference, it should be pronounced
Hubertus.
Thank you very much. That's I want to say. Hubertus. Hubertus. Because Hubertus is actually something obscene in Latin. So you don't want to say that. Hubertus. Okay, not Hubertus. I can't believe I said that. I feel so bad about it now, in retrospect. Kaylee Hop? Hoppy? Hopi? Hoppy? Hopi or Hoppy? Huh? Kathy. Oh, I got the Kathy wrong, too. Okay, Kathy. But I'm stuck on a Hoppy.
Kathy with two E's.
Yeah, the last name.
Hoppy.
Okay.
I married him. He went to high school with you. He went to Washington High School.
Yeah. Oh, he did, really?
Yeah.
Well, we both aged really well.
Yeah, we did.
Okay, thank you very much. He went to high school, and she... Okay, your question is, why is it so hard to buy a Valentine's gift for a man? You know, I think it's because we look so terrible in crotchless panties. That would be my, especially red. You know, does Jockey even make them? I don't know if they even make them. What? Yes.
She has two questions.
Okay, hand that back to her then.
I loaned her my question that I had sent to you in Madison several times and it never got answered. Do Christian Scientists take their dogs to the vet?
Okay, I'm not gonna answer it, but thank you for asking. That's all I need is getting in trouble with a Christian Scientist yet. Oh boy. Let's see. They take their dogs to the vet. Did my wife marry a caveman? Interesting thing for Jeff Benton Contractor to say. There's Jeff Benton Contractor. Let me squeeze past you here. This is going to require some hands-on. Pardon me. I'm sorry to make you get up. Jeff Benton Contractor. Is this the wife we're talking about here?
My wife.
Yes.
Stand up, Jeff, if you don't mind. How are you?
I'm good. I'm dressed up for today.
Yeah, very nice. Very nice sweater. Did you pick that out yourself?
No.
Did my wife marry a caveman? Explain.
You can't answer that until I tell you a story.
Okay.
I took my wife for an anniversary one year. We went to a fantasy suite, and I had her brought to the room by friends, and she didn't know where she was. Okay. When they got to the room,
blindfolded and tied up or whatever, and brought to a...
Right. When they got to the door, all they heard was grunting. Of course, that was me. excuse me. That was a caveman inside. Right. When they went in, I jumped out after them, and my wife fell to the floor. And, of course, that's perfect for a caveman, because then he gets to just drag her in and claim her for his own.
Do I want to hear how this ends? I think I've heard too much already, but is there a nice family version of this ending of this?
Well, I'm not going to get into details.
No, please don't. There's too many already. We've known.
Of course, when everybody fell to the floor and were peeing in their pants, they thought it was quite comical.
Okay, well, I got to go now. Excuse me. You have my utmost respect, my dear.
Oh, thank you. He's
very nice. Sweet. Nice idea, too, the room and everything. Huh?
He had an outfit.
Okay, really? I got to go now. How are you? Pretty good?
Just fine.
Yeah.
I've listened to you on the radio, and it's great to be here in person.
Oh, well, nice to be here myself. And what are you doing these days?
Preparing tax returns.
Oh, what fun for you.
What?
What fun for you.
Oh, yes, but I took a break this morning.
Do you ever, if you do tax, you're a CPA or something?
No, I'm a tax preparer.
Tax preparer, okay. My dad was a CPA. But, all those tax returns, you just start filling in things randomly after a while. You're doing like your 30th return, you know. Well,
once in a while you're tempted, but you don't do it that way.
No. I was wondering, just sort of freak out for a while. Just put in any number there and any number of deductions. And well, nice to meet you. You are?
Fred Seifeld.
Fred. All right. And is this Mrs. Seifeld?
Yes, it is. I'm just great. Thank you.
What? Taxes in order?
No, not yet.
No. See, the tax preparer never does his own taxes. Little known fact.
I'm the last one, you know.
Yeah. And did you see, you had something else you said?
I said I'm a Washington High School graduate.
You too? How do you like that? What was your name?
Barbara Ginther.
Barbara Ginther. What year were you?
Oh, you don't really want to know.
It's probably the same one as mine, actually, the way things are going. Well, nice to see you again. We got a lot of Washington graduates here, apparently. How do you like that? That's scary. Pete Hoffman, football coach. Right here. Pete Hoffman, ladies and gentlemen. Coach Hoffman, can you stand up here, coach? Give me a ripsaw, bigger than a buzzsaw. You still coaching?
I still coach JV football, yes.
Yeah. And where are you coaching at?
Hartford High School.
Hartford High School, Hartford Union. How are they sizing up this year?
Well, we don't know that until we start in August. Yeah. But we always believe that we're going to have a good team.
Yeah. You go to junior high schools and solicit players?
No.
Make them offers they can't refuse and get them to sign a letter of intent there.
Whoever lives in our district and comes out, that's what we have.
Come on. Give me the real answer here, coach. You got to promise them like a Corvette or something, you know, when they get to be 16. And
you don't promise them anything.
No, okay, I get you. You can't promise him anything.
Okay.
But you can go in there with a picture of a Corvette and say, nice car, huh?
That's right.
The eighth grader is going to see that and say, you know, play a little Union football.
Right.
Be a little Oriole.
Correct.
Yeah?
Yeah, we have organized football from 6th grade through 12th grade here in Hartford.
Can we see any trends over the 49 years you're coaching? Are we getting We're getting some 300-pounders now
in the JV. One big thing, the kids are much, much bigger than they were when I first started coaching.
Yeah.
It used to be that 200 pounds was considered big for an offensive defensive lineman, but now you better be up to 240, 250.
It's kind of scary, though, isn't it?
At the high school level, yes.
Yeah. Are they doing that on purpose, or are they just kids eat a lot more than they used to? I mean they're trying to bulk up for football and all?
Yes, they try to bulk up. Yeah, so they eat more, and weightlifting has made a huge difference in the caliber of athletes that come through in high schools.
Okay. All right, and so that's great, and the team is looking. You were varsity coach, though, right, most of the time?
I was varsity coach, now I'm JV coach.
Yeah. Are you looking for anything to move outside the Union High School sphere? Anything, some pro openings, I know?
I had a grandson who asked my son, what does Grandpa do for a living? And my son said, well, he's retired. Well, grandson says, he should get a job. And my son said, what job should he get? And he says, why doesn't he go work for the Green Bay Packers?
Yeah. We could use somebody, I think, you know. Maybe some defensive coach would be good. Huh?
I didn't catch the question.
Defensive coach? Did you ever do that?
No, I'm primarily an offensive coach.
Okay. Well, we could use that too, come to think of it.
That's correct.
Nice to meet you, coach.
All right. Thank you.
Coach Pete Hoffman. We're going to play another round of the What Do You Know quiz, because that's what quiz shows are supposed to do, pretty much. Otherwise, you're some kind of a fraud. Did you want to do it?
I'd love to.
No kidding. Well, stand up here. Let's see if you qualify.
I qualify.
You do? Do you have a background in quiz shows?
Oh, definitely.
Have you been on a quiz show before?
No, I haven't.
Do you watch any of those quiz shows on TV or on the radio?
Occasionally. I listen to you almost every Saturday.
Okay, then you're qualified. Come on up. Come on up here. Walk this way. There's never been a man more qualified. If he can listen every Saturday, he deserves some sort of recompense. Have a seat there if you would. We'll learn all about you. Or mostly. Oh, you never did a caveman thing, did you?
No, sir.
Did you ever hear such a thing?
Not touching it.
No, my wife, you know, she'd come in with a club, actually. That would be the caveman part of it. And your name is?
Frank Wilkie.
Frank, how are you?
I'm fine, sir.
Are you from around here? Or?
Just outside of Heartland.
Yeah, and what do you do out there?
I own a web design business.
Web design? Oh, that's cool.
About 17 years.
No kidding. What do you do? You design webs?
Mm-hmm. Websites.
Websites. I was wondering what that was.
Web design. Not the spider web.
Yeah. What did you do before web design?
I own a satellite communications business.
Satellite communications. Wow. You sell that for big money?
No, it kind of went away with the little dishes.
Oh, okay.
We were doing the TV, radio stations.
Oh, wow.
The big ones.
Oh, cool. Oh, cool. Well, that's really cool. And web design going pretty good for you?
17 years worth.
Yeah.
Still very busy.
Yeah, well, that's very cool. Very cool. What do you do for kicks?
Enjoy my Corvettes, boating.
Corvettes, see? Sign up, play at the Union. Get a Corvette. That's pretty much what I'm saying. You have Corvettes, huh? More than one?
Yes, sir.
How many you got?
Two.
Well, it's more than one.
It's more than one.
I thought a fleet, but that's cool. Two car. What years you got?
I've got a currently driving a 05, and then I have a 93. That's in excellent shape, 1993. Uh-huh. And dreaming for the new C7 models that are coming out.
A C7, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a 93?
93, yep.
Yeah. Which one was that now? What did that look like?
That was called the C4 model.
Uh-huh.
And it had the headlights that flipped over and more of a rounded rear end to it.
Was that the ducks behind on that one? You know.
Yes.
Yes, that one. Yeah. Nice. That's a nice car.
I'm going to go there. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's a nice car. Cool.
But
cool.
Yeah, black one, and it's...
Always been a Corvette man or something before?
On the last probably 7 years, 8 years, I used to be in sports cars when I was younger. And
yeah.
You got to be a little older these days to be able to afford the Corvettes. That's the average age is somewhere between 55 and 60 for Corvette owners.
Yes. You have to at least be on your midlife crisis to have a Corvette.
Yeah.
Or better.
And the kids are gone and all those things. You
know. Right. And use their college funds. It's all the leftovers from the college funds. Really. You can... Now, who gets that money, by the way? That's coming up soon, I got to think. Because if they don't use all their college funds, that should revert to the guy who put it in there.
I sent my... 14-year-old granddaughter at the time, a picture of the 93.
Yeah.
And her first email back to me ever was, "Grandpa, I want the car." And then about 20 minutes later, I got the second email, "Grandpa, I love you."
I'm sure the second one got held up.
I told her she had it backwards.
Yeah. Web traffic, you know, a lot of web traffic. So the second one got held up and got there, actually, after the... So you know how this quiz works?
Someone
out there,
because
you've heard it, I guess, and you should know how it works. Someone will call in and play along with you, and how would they do that, Sarah Nix?
Hold the phone. This is an encore edition of What Do You Know, so save your call for a future quiz.
What famous bowl does Hustisford, just down the road, lay claim to? Famous bowl game in Hustisford. Did I say that right? Thank you. Hustisford, might be. Famous bowl. Hustisford down the road here from us. Those that lay claim to, probably heard of it there. Let's go to the Kevin here in Wisconsin. Kevin.
Yes.
How
Kevin
are you?
Sekulowski. Hey, yeah. I heard you talking to Pete Hoffman. He was actually my history teacher at Hartford High School.
So. Yeah. How come? Let me ask you this, though, Kevin. How come it's the history teachers who are always the coaches and never the English teachers? You ever wonder about that?
We had some good English teachers who were coaches as well.
Really?
Greg Brown was the cross-country coach.
Oh. Yeah, not football coaches, though, I mean.
Oh, I couldn't tell you.
If you understood that, you'd understand a lot, I think.
Yeah,
always the history teachers doing the coaching. Kevin, what famous bowl does Hustisford down the road lay claim to? Bowl.
The answer you're looking for is the toilet bowl.
The famous toilet bowl. Yes, sirree. Did you ever play in that bowl, Kevin?
No, I didn't. I used to live over near Hustisford for a little while, but
yeah.
I went to watch it. I could never get drunk enough to play in it.
Really, did you try? That's not that hard to do, is it?
Yeah.
What are you doing these days, Kevin?
I'm a magazine editor.
Oh, you are? Which one do you edit?
I edit concealed carry. carry magazine for the handgun industry.
Conceal and carry?
Yes.
Have you got one on you now? Are you packing that magazine?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, good man. Keep it on you at all times. All right, so yeah, Kevin, Frank.
Hi,
Frank,
Kevin.
Frank, Kevin.
How you doing, Frank?
Okay. I'm doing well. You?
Great.
Okay, you guys are a team right now, so you work together on all things, and we have various categories, don't we, Sarah?
We do.
I'm wondering what those were. You were just confirming that we had various categories.
Yes. Current events, yes. People, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Okay, Kevin, what would you like?
Let's start with school.
School, okay. Oh, the motto. Oh, if you're listening earlier, I'd be surprised. But in case you were, you would probably know this. The motto of the Kissel car was one of the following. Look at her go, every inch a car, or tomorrow's car today.
I should know that. I know the most famous car is the Gold Bug, and I've been to the museum, but I can't remember the...
Frank? Every inch a car.
Frank's got it. Every inch a car. You go with that? Yeah, every inch a car. Every inch.
That's one right and zero wrong.
Okay, what's left there, Sarah?
Current events, people, places, science, or odds and ends?
Current events.
Frank, okay, current events. All right, Wisconsin now. This is a current event, I guess. A new number one in production of a certain commodity or crop. Of course, we know about so many of them, but now it's taken the lead from another state. Now is the number one producer of what?
Cheese.
Non-cheese crop. What crop? Vegetable type crop.
Cranberries?
Non-cranberry vegetable type crop.
Milk.
The only thing I can think of is ginseng. I know we're a leader in that.
Tuber type vegetable crop that mostly grows in the ground and not a potato exactly, but at all, really. We're now the number one producer of that. We're talking about 118,900 tons of this particular vegetable that we all have. All have in our vegetable bin.
Onions.
Can't really go to a salad bar not running into this crop. What crop is it, I'm wondering? Wisconsin is now number one in production of. Surprisingly.
Carrots?
Carrots are right! Holy cow! Right off the bat, he got it. How do you like that? It's a lot of carrots. 37% of American carrots come from Wisconsin, and I thought it was important you know that.
That's two right and zero wrong.
Yes, okay. It's a lot of carrots.
I had heard we took the cheese back from California, too.
Did we take? Oh, good. Yeah. They're happy cows. Mm-hmm. Happy cows. Get to watch dolphins off the coast of California. Oh, a bunch of hype.
The categories
are
remaining.
Our cows can watch carp. Our happy cows are watching carp, and they're a lot more entertaining than us, and, you know, because they're flapping around in the mating time. I'm a cow. I'd much rather watch carp than dolphin. You see them every so often. Oh, there's carp. Big deal. You know, carp, they're right out there. What were you saying?
I was saying that the categories remaining are people, places, science, or odds and ends.
Right.
Let's try it, people. Yeah.
People. Okay. Sorry, I got carried away. Let's see. Identity theft, robocalls, or guys with a bucket of tar and a broom wanting to fix the roof. What most bothered Wisconsin residents in 2012?
Robocalls.
Robocalls. Oh, boy, that wasn't hard. That was universal. Oh, wow. Yes. Weren't they terrible? Horrible. 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 Yeah. They should be illegal, I think. Identity theft, I always say, who steals my identity steals nothing. Well, they could quit here. They won, haven't they?
They have. They've won the quiz, in fact.
Yeah. But should they quit?
Well, that's up to them. They could quit now and take home some great prizes, or they could answer one more question correctly and win even more great prizes.
You mean the famous one-fer?
The famous one for the motherload.
They could win everything if they... Well, I don't know, you guys. You could. We got some nice stuff for you right now. You want to go on and try it, Kevin?
I'd really go for the motherload.
I'm going for it, Kevin. How about you?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. They're pretty good. I hope they're not bordering on a little smug now. They got these things pretty quick, except for the carrots thing they needed some help on, but okay.
So there's places, science, or odds and ends left.
Okay, there it is. Frank?
Places.
places. This could be anywhere. Yes. Lourdes has, you know, Lourdes. And Hartford and around here have what?
Have what in common?
There's Lourdes over in France. Holy they Hill. Got that. And around here, what have they got?
Basilica.
You're saying Holy Hill?
Holy Hill.
Yeah, the Shrine to Mary.
Holy Hill, then, is what you're saying.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
And Kevin, you're agreeing with that?
Yes, absolutely.
That's right, Holy Hill. Holy cow.
Frank, you'll swing at a concert with Chick Corea and Bella Fleck at Milwaukee's Marcus Center for the Performing Arts.
Oh, wow.
And in September, watch log sawing, shingle making, and much more at the 15th Annual Threshery, the signature event of the Richfield Historical Society. Take the whole family to an old courthouse, jail, and convent with your membership to the Washington County Historical Society.
Oh, nice.
Enjoy performances at Festive Fridays and the Footlights Family Series at the John Michael Kohler Arts Center in Sheboygan, and treat yourself to tasty roasted nuts from the Scoop DeVille on Hartford's Main Street. Kevin, your prize package begins with a full estate tour of a national historic landmark.
My pleasure, Michael.
That's 10 chimneys in bucolic Genesee Depot, including the main house, rustic studios, gardens, and an enchanting cottage, along with a Robin's Egg blue t-shirt from the 10 Chimneys Foundation, some Usinger's Fine Sausage, a 10th anniversary mug from the Milwaukee Art Museum, and return to Hartford in June for a production of Fiddler on the Roof by the Hartford Players. Congratulations to you both.
Hang on, Kevin. We'll make sure you get that. Thanks for playing, man.
Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, producer international. Adam Friedrich is our producer, with assistance from Chris Myshock, Lyle Anderson, Martin Babcock, and Diana Cook. Technical director is Tom Blaine, with help from Brad Kohlberg and Aubrey Ralph. Special thanks to our guests, Dale Anderson, Carrie Finko, Sammy Twang, and Jeff Balls. I'm Sarah Nix, hoping you'll join us next week for more of Michael Feldman's What Do You Know?
PRI, Public Radio International.